Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Good morning, Path family. As always, I'm excited to preach the word to my Path family today. And to those of you joining us on the virtual path, both near and abroad, welcome. Let's light up the chat this morning. If anything resonates with you, if anything hits you, feel free to put it in the chat. But before we get into the word of God, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the ways that you have kept us, the ways that you move, the ways that you allow us to be able to share your message through the innovation of the internet. God, I pray that today, whatever I say you want me to say, and whatever you don't want me to say, I won't say, and ultimately that you will be glorified. Father, we love you, and we pray all this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. So today I'll be closing out our series on the seven realities of experiencing God. Now to recap, first we talked about knowing God is always at work around us. I mean, we look around and we know that God is moving and orchestrating various things in our lives. Then the number two, we recognize that he pursues a loving relationship with us. Even as we're steeped in sin, God chases us down in this reckless fashion to show us his love. And then number three, he invites us into his work. He chose to make us his one and only plan to bring heaven to earth. Number four, he speaks to us. You know, he speaks to us through the scriptures. He speaks to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Number five, we experience God through crisis of belief. Number six, last week, Angel talked about trusting and adjusting. We experience God by adjusting and ultimately submitting to his plan. And finally, today, I'll be talking about how we experience God through obedience. Now, if you haven't listened to or watched these messages, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to take some time while you're working out, while you have a little free time, while you're walking, to really be enriched spiritually as we go on this journey. Our prayer throughout this series has been that you will recognize ways that God wants us to partner with him to see amazing things happen. For everyone watching or listening that considers themselves a part of the Path, if you consider yourself a member at the Path, I want to talk to you specifically right now. We are on the precipice of something amazing. We're right on the edge of something amazing, and you may not know it, but every day God is blowing our minds by reminding us that we are being used to impact this city, this state, this country, and the world. I'm constantly having conversations that remind me that what God is doing through, in, and with the Path is no small thing. We're building relationships with people who want to see God work. We're seeing people from different corners of the country being blessed by the ministry of the Path. And we're seeing God make a way out of no way when it comes to the renovation progress of this facility that we are walking into in the next couple of months. Yet, if you haven't been plugged in, if you haven't been listening, if you haven't been connected to a small group, you may not recognize that we are standing in the middle of a God-sized miracle. But in order for us to continue to progress, in order for us to move forward, the seventh reality of experience, God is experiencing God through obedience. And so we have to understand the need to obey. And so we're going to look at a story in the Old Testament that truly illustrates how God works through obedience. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, and I'll be reading from the NIV, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. I want to encourage you, take your Bible, open the Bible app, even though it's on the screen, take some time to bookmark this so that you can really go back and study it for yourselves. 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says, "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she says, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars, and don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." Verse 5, she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. Verse 7, she went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your son can live on what is left." This morning, I want to preach to you from this thought as the title of my message: what do you have? What do you have? In this passage, the prophet Elisha is met by a widow woman who is married to one of Elisha's mentees. And presumably at this point, Elisha, the mentee, has become Elijah, the mentor. He's gotten older, and considering the context of the story, he has been used to perform many miracles in the northern kingdom. This woman comes to him in a crisis and says, "I need help. My husband is dead. My kids will soon be taken. I need a miracle." And Elisha's reply is, "Go to your house. What do you have?" And the woman replies, "I have nothing but." Now, I want to take a moment to just pause and say this. Isn't it interesting when we're faced with challenging circumstances, we can discount what we do have by focusing on whether or not we think it will be sufficient? At any rate, Elisha gives her some very specific directions. He says, "Go ask your neighbors for jars," not oil, jars, "and don't just ask for a few. Take your sons, go in the house, and watch God work with what you do have." But take a moment to put yourself in this woman's position. Put yourself in her shoes. She's mourning the loss of her husband. She's afraid of the outcome of this debt collection. She's anxious. She wants the servant of God to take on the issue, and instead he gives her a task to implement. Can you imagine the angst as she goes back and forth, up and down the street, sending her children up and down the dusty roads, knocking on doors, asking neighbors, depending on their kindness, "Do you have a jar I can borrow? Do you have a jar I can borrow? Do you have an empty jar?" And what kind of questions might she have been met with from her neighbors? For what? What are you doing? Why? Empty? Girl, I can't help you. And yet she chose to obey the directive. You see, in order to experience God through obedience, you have to embrace this concept. All you have is all God needs. That's my main point today. All you have is all God needs. Go ahead, say it with me. If you're watching right now with your spouse, turn to your spouse and say, "All you have is all God needs." If you got your roommates with you, go ahead and say it out loud. I know you're looking at me crazy, and that's okay. Say it. All you have is all God needs. You see, what I realize is that it's not lost on me that today, June 6th, is Generosity Sunday. Here at The Path, what Generosity Sunday is it is a time when we come together and say, "God, above and beyond what we've been giving, above and beyond our consistent contribution, we want to give you an offering, God, for you to do something amazing with what we have." And yet it's sacrificial. The goal, the desire is always for Generosity Sunday to be an opportunity for us to sacrifice. Now, some of you may be doing well financially, and you've planned, you've prepared, you've sought God, and you're excited about what God can do. While others of you may be struggling. You may be like the widow. You may be saying, I have nothing except. You see, God may be calling you to step out with faithful obedience, and you're reluctant because you prayed. You fasted. You sought God, and God gave you a number, and you're not quite sure where will it come from. God gave you a number, and you're like, God, I'm going to need you to run that back. You're asking for a lot right now. And yet, like the widow, the measure of your resources paled in comparison to the magnitude of your need. But see, there's something amazing about letting God be God in situations that seem hopeless. One of the themes that we see throughout all scripture is that God allows situations to be real lopsided so that the credit can only go to God. We can't take credit for it. I mean, Abraham had his son, and he's like, God, this is what you told me to do. Moses had his staff. David had his slingshot, and Paul and Silas had a song. And all of these stories have something in common. God doing the miraculous. You see, in order to experience God, we have to be willing to activate our faith in ways that expects the miraculous to happen. As I stated earlier, we're right on the edge of something big happening, and God is asking every single one of us, what do you have? You're part of a church that's not waiting on God to give us everything before we give God what we have. You see, every stage in the life of this church, of this ministry, God has used the faith and servitude of willing, empty vessels to bring light to dark places. God has used people who are willing to go where God called them to go, to do what he called them to do, to be what God called them to be, and we have no plans on stopping. I'm amazed. I'm grateful that the brothers and sisters in this church have always said, I'm going to allow God to use what I have for his glory. Even now, in the midst of a multi-million dollar building project, God has used our faith and resources to help other people. In the last month, we've been able to utilize resources to go cut grass in the community, to give vaccines, to pay senior dues so that these boys from Best Academy could graduate, to put a single mom in a fully paid off home, to build partnerships that will transform this community. And God keeps pouring as we give what we have. But I believe that God is still calling on this community of believers at the Path, locally and abroad, to take an inventory. Because God is calling us to give generously of our time, of our talent, and of our treasure. These are all areas that we can evaluate, because now we're asking, what do you have? Why is this important? Because it's part of discipleship. It's a part of submitting to the lordship of Jesus. When it comes to your time, are you using just a little bit of your time to pour into others? Are you using it to be discipled and to be held accountable? Or in the last year, have we decided that we'd much rather spend our time doing whatever we want to do? Like the widow, you may be saying, I don't have any free time except when I'm driving. Well, guess what? Driving in Atlanta gives us ample opportunity, because we're going to be in the car for a little while. What if we use that as time to make a phone call? What if we use that to check on somebody? What if we use that time to encourage somebody? We can often say we don't have time, but God wants us to use the time we have to partner with him to see the amazing. You know, I think about our brother Jordan Davis. Jordan, a few months ago, we were talking and we were discussing the possibility of launching a new virtual small group. And Jordan didn't really have a lot of time. I knew that. He was beginning a master's program at Columbia University in a pandemic. The courses were rigorous. They were challenging. And yet, he was willing to use his little bit of oil that he had to bring our brother Brandon along. Jordan and Brandon started a small group. And guess what? He decided, you know what? I want to invite this guy that I met named Cam. Well, what ends up happening is we start studying the Bible with Cam, who is getting his master's at Yale. And that's the beauty of this whole virtual connection situation. Kentucky, Connecticut, and Alabama, all coming together. But what we've seen is God working. Cam decided, you know what? I got things that I need to let go. Cam has been repenting. He's been changing. He's been learning what it means to submit to Jesus. And he's decided, I want to get baptized. Now, what if Jordan and Brandon said, I don't have time. I have too much work. It's too challenging. I don't have anything to give. What would happen? But instead, they said, I got a little bit of oil to pour into empty vessels. God, here is my time. But then we get to talent. Lord knows we have gone through some transition, but as we continue to partner with God, we have to take some inventory of our talents. It's interesting that really we aren't good indicators of our own talent. We don't assess our own talents very well. We may say, I don't have much except the ability to talk to people. I don't have much except the ability to organize. I don't have much except the ability to draw. I don't have much except. You see, there's some things that simply take a warm smile and a welcoming disposition. You know, I understand there are some people where that's their talent. There are some people, when I walk up to them, I can see their smiles through the mask. They light up a room. That takes talent. But guess what? Sometimes God just needs you to bring just your little bit of oil, your willing hands to point somebody and wave them into the parking lot with excitement. Sometimes they just need the talent of making people feel welcome in our space. Yeah. But then you got something like singing, right? God may be asking you to be generous by lending your gift of song in some capacity, and you're sitting back keeping it to yourself. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it, and I will deal with the consequences later, all right? But I got a hard time believing that we got this many black folks and everybody act like they can't carry a tune. I know somebody can sing, but God is asking you, what do you have? Because all you have is all God needs. Now, Angel, I saw you filled out the survey and you put music ministry on there. And so I have to kindly veto that. I let you stick with evangelism, brother. But for those of you who can sing, those of you who have some type of desire to utilize your voice to praise God and to lead others into it, what are you waiting on? You know, I'll let y'all in on a little secret. I was just telling Chase, in my family, I am the least, right? Everybody in my family sings, plays instruments. I mean, I don't mean just pots and pans and carrying a tune. I mean, they have toured with Grammy and Dove award-winning artists. They have ascended to some of the highest levels. They've gone to Juilliard for music. And so when I'm in that environment, I am the least. I don't know music theory the way they know it. I don't know arrangements the way that they know it. I don't have the musical knowledge that they have. And yet God reminds me that I got a little bit and I have an opportunity to use it to glorify him. But then last week, Angel said, he reminded us of a conversation that we had with Pastor Bob in Tennessee and said, you know what? God is bringing exactly who he needs for this next leg of the journey. But the question is that you? Are you the person that God is bringing along for the next leg in this journey that is the path? Now, we've talked time, we've talked talent, but finally, this is Generosity Sunday. And so what about your treasure financially? In our passage, the woman came to Elijah and ultimately to God with a financial issue. Her husband had ran up the credit card before he died, and she was left holding the bag. Interesting enough, because this man was a priest, it's likely this woman didn't see the oil she had as valuable because it was just a little bit. It was just a small flask of oil that he probably used for anointing. That's why she said, I have nothing except. I have nothing except. I mean, you see this? What would you do with this? This is just a little bit of oil. But throughout scripture, God is multiplying what is brought to him to be used for a noble purpose. There's a certain level of obedience we have to embrace even when our backs are against the wall. We have to trust God in a new way when he's calling us to move, even when it comes to our treasure. But one thing I've experienced firsthand is we see God moving in amazing ways when we're obedient with our treasure. Me and my wife, Taylor, have seen firsthand God move when we bring him what we have. In almost 8 years of being married, God has increased our incomes and given us the ability to build wealth. And yet God has given us even greater burdens to be more giving. One of the ways we've seen God work is when we gave our special contribution last year. We prayed, gave, and the next day God multiplied what was given. It was as if God wanted to know if we were going to be obedient to what we were called to do. But one of the things we've had to evolve in over the years is how will we choose to believe God? Will we believe God from a scarcity mindset or an abundant mindset? You see, there are things that God has blessed us to do and give, not only to the church, but to other people, but that has come as a result of trusting God. Will you continue to allow oil to flow if we give what we have and keep choosing to fill empty vessels because all we have is all God needs? When we look back at the passage, obedience requires sacrifice. There were things the woman had to sacrifice. There were things the community had to sacrifice. The neighbors had to be willing to give vessels to be used. The woman had to sacrifice her pride and find the audacity to ask. And so on this Generosity Sunday, we are simply saying God is giving us an opportunity to be generous because God is generous. It's a privilege to emulate our Creator with a heart of generosity. See, despite having this renovation project as a church, we want to be a church that's constantly striving to be generous because God has lavished us with generosity. We've literally saved thousands of dollars on equipment, appliances, office furniture, knowledge, because people have been generous with us, giving us things that total thousands of dollars, time that totals thousands of dollars. And so why wouldn't we pay it forward? You know, in Experiencing God, Henry Blackaby says, churches too must understand that obedience requires sacrifice. A congregation won't know and experience the fulfilling of God's promises and purposes if its members are unwilling to pay the price of obedience. Church leaders do a disservice to their congregation if they do not help their people understand this reality. Ultimately, we want to be a church that gives God all that we have so that he can multiply everything that he wants into empty vessels. See, this widow out of obedience gave what she had and God privately yielded an overflow. She not only had enough, but she was able to see God do exceedingly abundantly above what she could ask for. And she couldn't even imagine what came from her obedience. But not only did she see God move and God work, but her two sons were able to see the power of obedience with just a little bit of oil. What kind of legacy did that create? What kind of legacy did that woman leave with her children by choosing to obey God? And what kind of legacy will you have? Will your physical and spiritual children see that you embrace that all you have is all God needs, or will they see you afraid to partner with God for the miraculous? If you're watching today and wondering if God can use you in a broken state, recognize that all you have is all God needs to change your life. If you've been struggling and need your faith reignited, let God build your faith by bringing all that you have, because all you have is all God needs. If you're wondering if being obedient to God is worth it, remember this, that all Jesus had was a heart to obey God. And God multiplied his death, burial, and resurrection to cover the sins of the world, because Jesus himself knew that all he had was all God needed. So as we prepare for communion right now, I want you to really think about how Jesus decided, you know what? My life is all that I have, but I want to obediently give what I have to God. And how Jesus doing that paid for the sins of you and me. Let us pray. Father, we admit that oftentimes we can overlook what you want to use in our lives. God, oftentimes we can say, I have nothing except. God, I pray that we can utilize that thing that comes after the except. God, we thank you for Jesus and how Jesus sacrificed his life in obedience to you for our good. Help us, God, to honor you, to love you, to desire you deeply over our own desires and our own wants. God, help us to be generous the way that you're generous, for your goodness and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.